This is Microphone Check, hip-hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly. Three things. It's been a minute. We shouldn't have left you, but we've been working on a lot behind the scenes that you will see and hear very soon. Also, we moved operations to LA. Sorry for the wait. Secondly, if you wouldn't mind taking part in a survey to help us make more and better episodes of this show, we would be very grateful. You can find it at npr.org/microphonecheck survey. We really appreciate you taking the time. Finally, shout out to the new NPR podcast On the Scene, the one where NPR's political reporters talk to you like they talk to each other. They're reporting from every stop on the campaign trail, so you don't have to keep up with politics to know what's happening this election year. You just have to keep up with them. Listen and subscribe to the NPR Politics podcast at npr.org/podcast and on the NPR One app. And now, a brand new episode.
This is fucking crazy right now. I'm so excited.
Microphone Check, hip hop from NPR Music. I'm Franny Kelly.
I'm Ali Shaheed Muhammad.
And I'm Logic.
What up, Logic?
What's good? This is crazy. I'm so excited.
Me too.
Oh, man.
Thank you for coming.
Of course.
How'd you feel walking in the building?
Oh, I felt very like I've been here a million times because this is the place where
you have.
Yeah, where I've recorded and like we mixed the first album. We mixed Under Pressure here and we mixed the new album, The Incredible True Story, here. And I saw you and I was like, yo, I know this guy. And I was on the phone and I was like, I didn't think it was you at first. Cause yeah. I was like, nah. But I was like, yeah. But I was like, nah. And then Bobby, my engineer, who we know,
yeah,
was like, yeah, yo, you know, Ali has his podcast. And I was like, oh my God, it was him. That's crazy. And I was on the phone talking about something extra. I always be on the phone.
Yeah, because I saw Bobby and Alex. You know, it's just like you pass a little message. I try not to do that, but
no, I'm glad. Thank you.
Yeah, but no, I saw you, but you were on the phone, so I was like, man, I just wanted to go up to him. But I was like, it looked like you were in a serious conversation.
I was in a very serious conversation. It's always when it's album time, it's always like something's happening at the label, and some you got to make sure something gets done right, and like little to everything. I'm a perfectionist, and like I'm very analytical about every little detail. So if something's wrong, or there isn't a quotation on an iTunes thing or this or that, like I go crazy, man.
Yeah, see the detail was in the body language. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna just keep moving. I'll hopefully run into the gentleman another time. But that was the only time. Yes.
When
I'm
was
glad
that?
We're here. That was like a couple weeks ago. Like a month ago, maybe.
It was about a month ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. For the people, okay, let me just set it up. We're at Blakeslee Studios, so it's where I record. And this is where we do Microphone Check now. Yay. And so I have a production room, and then there's a vocal booth, and there's another production room behind me.
Yeah.
And I was recording vocals, and it was just like the sub was just so ridiculous. So I asked my production partner in the next room, I was like, yo, I'm cutting vocals. Can you kill it for a minute? And he was like, yeah, sure, no problem. And then like 15 minutes later, it was just worse. So I'm like sending him a text like, dude, I'm still cutting. He was like, I'm quiet, man. And I'm like, where the hell is that coming from? It was coming from the C room where you were mixing.
So all the way on the other side?
Yo, your music was catching life on my tracks.
Damn.
But it was
I'm sorry about that.
No, don't apologize. Sounded really good.
You Thank probably you. Done that to people before.
Probably.
For sure.
You know, you got to know how to take it when you're recording. But anyway, we're happy that you're here. And I want to shout out our producer, David, because he's the one that put me up on you.
Shout out to David. I appreciate that.
David Luke. He's
David
the
Luke. Yeah. He, when your last record came out, which was not your first.
No, it was, well, I mean, technically it was the first album, right? But I mean, in this day and age, I mean, I had done a whole bunch of mixtapes, and to me, those are like albums, you know what I mean? You put together a body of work and release it, but it's just a different time. But yes.
Yeah, so he put me up on you, and I was like, all right, Logic, cool, checked it out. And I was like, oh, thank you, David. Music was dope.
Thank you.
And you're very talented. So kind of want to go back to the beginning.
Okay.
A little bit. And I want to go back to the beginning referencing a song off the new album, which is called Paradise.
Mm.
And in the song, you mention this one moment and the song Paradise, and it was about being pulled over by the police. You were with your mom, something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it was, yes, but it wasn't, we were in the house.
You were
so
in the
that's
house.
What I was talking about, my mother being dragged away. I was about 5 years old.
So that must have been a lasting memory for you to put it on.
100%, because she didn't have any shoes on, and then I remember these like kind of cobblestone stairs that we had because we lived in this apartment. You know, through the government, they helped assist everything. And I just remember her being in handcuffs and then dragged down, and then like her ankles were very bloody. Mm. It's crazy. And I was about 4 or 5 years old.
Do you remember how you felt?
Definitely confused and probably scared. But I mean, you can imagine like when you watch anything, like when you watch Boys in the Hood and the baby crying, like the baby has no idea what's really going on. You just kind of sense that something's not right and that this person who is raising you or a part of your life is not around you for the second, right? You know what I mean? So that's kind of all I remember from it.
Did you ever speak with your mom about that incident?
No, actually, I never did, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Damn.
I mean, I'm asking because your environment was, you grew up in, what was the neighborhood?
Well, I grew up in West Deer Park. That's where I like really spent a majority of my years, well, from 5 to 15, and I think those are some of the biggest years, you know what I mean? And the funny thing is where I'm from, it's a very beautiful place, you know what I mean? And there's shit everywhere. There's good places everywhere, there's bad places everywhere, but a bad place for me was my home, mm-hmm. my actual house, which is really funny because I think the way you look, you know, the fact that I'm, you know, a black and white man, but look white and raised by black family members, and you know, it's like really weird because there's a culture in me, you know what I mean? There's a there's ancestry in me on both sides, you know, the slave and the master. It's fucking weird, it's crazy, you know what I mean? So I don't know, it was very, growing up in my household, it was a lot of things that I went through and experienced that I think a lot of other people did as well, and that's why, or at least some level, and that's why I think people can kind of relate. But it's not like bitching, like, oh, I went through this. It was like, nah, like, this made me stronger, better, faster, harder. Duh. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because Ali was asking me. So I'm kind of from D.C. My dad was in the Navy, but I went to high school in D.C.
Oh, tight.
So he was like, do you know where Logic is from? And I was like, yeah, I've, like, seen that neighborhood, and it looks beautiful.
Yeah.
But there isn't anything there.
Well, mind you, also, they redid it. But, like, back when I lived there, because for me, it was like Section 8 housing. It's so weird, man, because there's a lot of really amazing places there. I mean, at one point, it was one of the richest counties in the United States.
Is it Montgomery County?
Yeah, Montgomery County. Yeah. Which is, but that's what takes it back to the household, man. Mm.
Yeah.
Like, it's the household. Like, we were on Section 8. We were on welfare. We had food stamps. We had this. We had that. My dad was in and out doing, you know, the things that he was doing. And the funny thing is, especially with this album, like, one thing that I told myself is, you know, because on the first album, it was like a almost autobiography, like, of all the shit that I went through. And it was such negative stuff. And I love that album, man. And it was a true introduction. But that's why I'm so excited for this album, The Incredible True Story, because it's kind of the victory lap. It's kind of like, here's where my life is now. I'm going to give you a little bit of, you know, retrospect and take you back a little bit. But things are good, and that's where I'm headed. But to speak on the past for, you know, the plenty of people out there who never heard of me right now listening.
Well, that's why I wanted to just go back a little bit just so that there's an understanding as to, you know, where you are right
now. Complete 100%.
And I think it's important because I think that, you know, there are people who are raised in a certain, impoverished and stressed environment, you know, be it economically or even emotionally, and they assimilate to that environment and they don't break a cycle.
Yes.
And so, you know, you have seemed to have been inspired to break that cycle. So, and it comes across in the music, you know, and so I wanted to know, like, what was it that inspired you? What was that moment that...
People ask that. Yeah. I don't think there was a specific moment. I think it was something that was always in me that I just knew. And I think a big part of it was God. I think it's like God and common sense. Because when you see all your sisters getting knocked up and beat and coming home raped by men and your mother getting, you know, fucked up by men and right in front of you and screaming and crying and horrible things and like your brother selling drugs and carrying guns and all this shit, and you see what happens. And it's like, okay, this person's doing this, this person's doing this, this person's doing this. I'm like, yo, I can't do this. Like, and yeah, sure, I've shot guns, I've held guns, I've sold drugs, I've done, you know, the dumbest shit. For a very short period of time in my life where I was like, oh no, this ain't happening. Like, I've never killed anybody, thank God. Mm-hmm. I'm not the dude that's like, yeah, I got bodies. Like, that's the most ignorant shit ever. I am so blessed that I've never taken a life. You know, I've done fucked up shit, but I can look in the mirror. You know, I faced my demons and I'm very blessed to be here. And yeah, so, but that cycle, I think it's just God and common sense. And at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? Instead of ignorantly trying to get out my frustration through acts of vandalism or violence because I'm so unsure of who I am as a growing young man, you know, that what most people do, they just tend to act out or this or that or get in arguments. I was like, man, I'm just going to put it into my music. And then even that was difficult because I could be like, I could say whatever I want to say, you know, I could say, I could curse or I could this. And my mother, she was very over religious. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, she wouldn't, like, Kanye, what did he say? I'm not sure if it was New Slaves, but it was off Yeezus. He was like, I think it was New Slaves. He was like, yeah, we preaching, but we practice. Mm. And I was like, wow, that's real shit. Like, don't preach it unless you're not about it. You know, don't try to take the splinter out of somebody's eye. You got to log in yours, you know? Mm. So I would, like, you know, my mother was the type of person who would be like, this is God's house, you goddamn motherfucker. Like really, like, that was who she was. So I that's another thing. I think that's another reason why I'm so open-minded. Mm-hmm. And I really love and respect all colors, creeds, faiths, religions, you know, even though I might have my own personal connection or whatever that is with myself. I think it came from that household. I think it was all the negative shit that I saw, witnessed, went through that turn me into the positive person that you see today. And I'm sorry, I know I'm talking a lot. I'm just so excited. Oh, a lot of people, they're always like, how are you so positive? How are you so positive? And to be quite honest, it's in my darkest of times that I am my most positive, because it's all about, like, speaking it. Like, think about it, man. Like, you know, there was a time where all I wanted to do was be accepted by hip hop, you know, and everywhere I turn, it's, oh, this white motherfucker, oh, it is this or that, or there are people who don't even like, they're not even like listening or caring to understand my story, and it's fucked up. And so it's like, you know, when I felt like I wasn't getting my just deserve or this or respect, or like, now I'm in a room, you know, with two incredible people who care not only about this culture, but about, you know, about music as a whole, and with this legend yourself, you know. And I don't know how you look at yourself, but you're a motherfucking legend, man. And you inspired my whole first album and a lot of these records. So to be able to sit here with you is amazing. And I feel now I am getting my just deserve. Mm-hmm. But in my darkest of hours, when nobody's there to pat me on the back, to say keep going, to say you can do it, you're incredible, you're talented, you're mm-hmm. this, you're that. I was the one that I'd go on Twitter and I'd go on into my music and say, you can be the best person you can be. You know, you can do anything you want to do. And it's like, I'm telling the fans what I'm trying to tell myself, because nobody was telling me at the time.
That's amazing. It's interesting because you say that it's common sense, and you would think that it would be common sense for people to look at their environment, to look at their life, to see and evaluate what's working and put that in the, that's working for me, let's keep doing that. And then, oh, that's not working for me, let's not keep doing that. And that seems like common sense, but, you know, we tend to sometimes succumb to whatever and we repeat these steps. But you're making a choice.
There's a language, and I'm sorry to interrupt. No, it's very simple. When I first came to LA in 2012, so I moved from Maryland, I didn't know anybody out here. And, you know, my homie Lenny supported me. Like, when I didn't have a place to go, you know, he put food in my stomach and clothes on my back. And I remember, like, I was supposed to get a job. And it's back when I lived in the basement. And if you go to Under Pressure, my first album, you look at that cover, it's me in the basement. And that's the exact basement that I was in. And I was, like, supposed to get a job and all this shit. But the music I was making was so good. And he was kind of lenient in a good way. And I was like, man, just give me a year. If you could do that, if you could work and take care of me for a year. And damn near, just before that year was up, almost to the date, I signed to Def Jam.
Wow.
You know, I told him, I said, quit your job of 12 years as a land surveyor and come out to LA and we're going to do it. And we did it. And I say all this to say that when I got to LA, I was on Twitter and I was at, you know, Paquito Mas?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was at Paquito Mas, right? Fucking up some quesadillas.
For people who don't know, Paquito Mas is it's like the Chipotle of its day before there was Chipotle.
Yeah, I like it. I don't know.
I used to fall in love. It's a little small kind of like taco.
Yeah, it's
burrito.
It means a little bit more.
Oh, yeah. Piquito Mas. Yeah. Piquito Mas. Hola, ¿cómo estás? Me llamo Roberto. Anyway, so I'm sitting down one day, right? And I just got finished kind of on a rant because I was where I just said I was. You can do anything you want in life. You can achieve anything. You could be any the person that you want to be. Peace, love, and positivity. That's my fucking jam right there. That's my whole thing. Peace, love, and positivity. Follow your dreams. And then, like, I look at, like, the replies, like, oh, you know, I hope people are going to enjoy this. And I see, like, shut up, you fucking faggot, you know, or you're a bitch, or this, all these different things. And I'm like, oh, damn. Like, it just hits my soul. Like I never understood. Like, how could you hate me? How could you hate me? Like I came from nothing. I promote nothing but positivity. How could you hate? And I was like, I don't understand. And I was talking to Lenny about it, my best friend, Big Lembo. He's actually on this album. And I was like, how could somebody hate me? How could somebody be that evil to take something that's positive and say these negative things? I just couldn't understand it. And it fucking, like a light bulb, it went off and it changed my life. I don't understand why haters hate because I'm not a fucking hater. And then this, and this is real shit. And then this goes to success. I can't tell you how many people have come and gone from my circle, good, you know, good people, that it just didn't work out because they didn't speak the language. So determination, persistence, realism, and wanting success more than your next breath. It's that simple, and you can achieve anything you want. I have a, I actually have this an autograph from 2010, me practicing my autograph with a million Logic autographs on it, and I signed the date. And that was before I had a fan in the world, before I had anything. And it was because I said, I'm gonna. In 2010, I said, without any of that shit, that same year, I'm gonna be a freshman, 2000 XXL 2013. And I did it. I said, I'm gonna not just get a fucking record deal, but I'm gonna get the record deal I want that in fine print that says, I can make whatever the hell I want, release it whenever I want and do it. And I did it. I said, I'm gonna be an actor one day, and I'm gonna direct and write movies, and I'm gonna do these things, and I'm gonna do it. And other people go, well, I would, but I don't have the money. Mm-hmm. I would, but my mom is sick and I have to take care of her, or I would this, or I would that. And it's like, yo, those are unfortunate situations, but you already fucked up as soon as you said, and there's people who even could listen now and go, oh no, that's not true. You know, there's a lot to it. And it's like, well, no. It's all about you, the law of attraction, the power of your words.
You answered my next question, really, with that.
My bad.
No, that's like, I love what you're saying. Mm. It comes through in your music, but I don't know if to spell it out the way you just did, you know, and I think you really have to. Well, if you don't have that component to understand and take things in, then you will never in this. You know, just pretty much the example you gave. But yeah. I think if you just really just take a moment to really like let your words settle in, it's pretty clear that you feel this way. But the question I was going to ask is, do you remember the moment when you rejected the belief of impossibility?
Oh, wow. It's weird. It's almost like people ask me because I just got married last week. And they thank you, brother. And they asked, like, oh, when did you know? Like, she was the one. I think that's kind of bullshit. I don't think there's any like, oh, like like moment. I think it's a collection of moments, you know? It's like when we hung out and it wasn't about money or this or that, or, you know, social climbing and Instagram, and then I was like, oh wow, she's just a regular, you know, awesome, very beautiful woman. And or when I went on tour and she could handle two tours, a promo run and the release of an album, and she could handle, like, it's all these things that, like, oh wow, this is the one for me. So yeah, I don't know exactly when it was.
I have a way to ask it, maybe.
Yeah, please.
How did you educate yourself?
Through Yoda. Yoda has a saying. He says, and I love it. He says, the difference between the Padawan and the master is the master has failed more times than the Padawan has even tried. Mm. So I think I knew through trial and error, not only of me, but my predecessors and the people that I love. You know, like I fucking love Kanye West, you know, but he's, you know, even like with Taylor Swift, like that'll always be a part of history, you know, and we can all look back now and laugh, and they're friends now, and like that's really amazing. But I look at things like that, or even, you know, far before him, of other people and maybe bad business decisions or whatever the case may be of other people, and I look at the negative things that happened to them, or oh, that's where they kind of went downhill, and not even their music per se, but just like who they are and their business and things like that. So I think for me, when I realized anything was possible, it was more so like, okay, anything really is possible as long as I don't fuck it up. Like, as long as I don't do some crazy shit, like, I have to be able to look in the mirror and go, okay, I'm a pretty normal guy. So just, I don't know, don't get into any crazy shit. No skeletons in the closet. And that's why I like to put everything out there. But I think probably, man, the day, you know, the day I released my album, like, I had a awesome cry. You know, like, it is such an amazing cry. Like, I don't know. I think that was a big thing. I was like, man, look where I came from. Look where I am. My album is out for the world. This is crazy.
I was going to ask you about the Kendrick comparisons. And
please.
I mean, is there anything in that that, like, you thought maybe there was a moment of truth in it where you're like, oh, well, you know what? I guess I need to, in some ways, differentiate from
I don't think
whatever.
So at all. I think that's just like, come on, man. When I listen to Tribe, Slum Village, there's like all these incredible, you hear like it's, I'm not gonna change who I am for nobody else. Like, if you listen to my album, you listen to the outro, you listen to Under Pressure, you listen to so many, I mean, because I haven't listened to Under Pressure in a while, but if you listen, like, first of all, the outro, me singing on an album, I'm singing on the intro. All right.
Or higher, probably, right? Fuck it, just record it, who cares? One.
I just wanna make these music lovers remember again. While the haters fall back like September again. I was hoping three stacks and big would assemble again. Drop the politics and bring us together again. Maybe if I go platinum, they'll remember me then. Maybe if I go platinum, they'll remember me then. Yeah.
Like, that doesn't sound like Kendrick. It doesn't sound like Cole. I mean, you could say it sounds like Drake, but it's a different kind of singing. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. Like, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. I don't care. Like, none of that matters to me. It's like, yeah, okay. When, because I have so much respect for Kendrick. I have yet to shake his hand. We know all the same fucking people. It's insane. But, like, think about it. I work with Tay Beast. I worked with Terrace Martin. I work with all these people who worked on Kendrick's shit. So, obviously, there's going to be some type of, what's the word?
Commonality.
Yeah, exactly. Commonality in it. And then, but it's like, are the lyrics the same? Fuck no. This is my story, my flows, my raps. Like, this is me. But it's the same thing with...
You guys are just fast.
Yeah. But it's also a recency effect. Like, before him, it was Cole. Oh, you sound like Cole. And before him, when I got melodic, it's like, oh, you sound like Drake. Or this or that. And it's like, that's fine. Say whatever you want. And I used to battle that. It used to be a thing for me, like, oh, man, like, oh, I'm getting compared. But no. The fact that I can tour the world, sell out shows, and people are coming to see me is all that matters. My message is there. That's all that matters. And don't get me wrong. You know, on The Incredible True Story, the Sonics are more me than ever. But it's like, okay, we could talk about who I sound like, but why don't we talk about the fact that I was extremely inspired by Midnight Marauders for, you know, from Tribe and literally the program. Yeah. I did that, you know what I mean? And I did it as an homage, and I hope you enjoyed it.
No, I mean, shouts out to Thalia.
yeah, Thalia, real tough.
No,
but why is it okay? Because it was 20 years ago.
I was gonna.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, my question would be then. So it seems to me that somebody wrote about this, and then it was sort of picked up. And I wonder about the difference between the critical reception for your work and like the fan reception for your work. It seems to me there's a very big divide between people who write about music and people who fuck with music.
Yeah, for sure. 100%. I think at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. Like, even this conversation, like, we're giving it more life than it really is. But it's a good topic. It's an incredible topic. But it's like, let's talk about how much Ye inspires me. Let's talk about how Ye did 808s and there's straight covers on that song. You know what I mean? Or where you could take something completely from somebody else and add a snare and a kick drum, but because Ye is quote unquote a legend, it's different or it's this or it's that. It's like, no, he was inspired to take from someone else and he made it his own.
Well, do you think that people, the reason there is this like vitriol is because people think because you look white that you're going to get more commercial success?
I have no fucking doubt in my mind that that's true. Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. Look at the consumer.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, look at the consumer, the general consumer. Have you been to fucking Wu-Tang shows and hip-hop shows? And like, it's crazy. It's a whole bunch of white kids, but so what? Those are, you know, and that's not the whole thing, because, you know, and this is a whole nother debate that we can go into about, because I don't even really like to talk about race, but I will, but I don't really like to talk about race that much, because I just see people, man, and being black and white being two things. But yes, but going back into that, no, I have no fucking doubt in my mind that, I think at the end of the day, the music I would like to say is damn good, and I work my ass off, and that's why I'm where I am, because there's a lot of white rappers who don't give a shit about this culture and just want to exploit it, and that's something I would never do, and that's something I'm not doing. But yes, it's like a young black child looking at Michael Jordan, like, wow, he looks like me. Mm. I can be that. I can do that. You know what I mean? Maybe that was Kobe. Maybe that was LeBron. Maybe that was whoever. And they did it. So imagine a genre of music where it's typically supposed to be like, only the brothers can do this, you know, and this and this. And then there might be a white person out there, even though I am black and white and I love who I am. But there's, you know, some white kid who could go, oh, I wish I could rap, but because I'm white, I can't do it. Like, that's the most fucked up shit. It's like, no. If you love the culture, like, look at Mac Miller. Yo, Mac Miller loves hip-hop, bro. Mm-hmm. And he knows his shit. So to say that he can't do it because he's from the suburbs is bullshit. So I think, yes, I think the fact that I do look a certain way, it's weird. It's almost like, it's like reverse racism. Because in hip-hop, I got treated as, you know, the minority and the looked down upon, and I had to fight every single day. When I am a part of not only this culture, but this ethnicity. But yeah, I mean, when it comes to marketability, like, I mean, look at, you know, arguably the biggest artist ever in rap is Eminem, right? Then that's an argument. And it's, is he white? Does it have to do with that? Does it have to do with skill? All this shit I put out of my mind. And these are the things that I battled with, especially on my first album. This is why I'm so happy with the second album, because it's like, say what you want about me, say this, say that, who gives a fuck, I don't care, I'm making music, God is good, I'm married, I have a puppy, I'm so happy. Like, that's how I think, and it frees me.
Well, just to speak on influences and how it inspires, I heard your music, and I heard several influences.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Tribe and so many others.
Most Def.
And I think that's great. And when you have an artist who, and I can say this, you know, after being doing this for 26 years, whatever, that when there's an artist who takes a portion of whatever it is of your art and to, like, take a seed, a very small thing, and grow something completely different and beautiful, that's amazing. And when you can pick fruit off of that tree that other person, you know, put in the ground and created their own hybrid and added to it, and you can take a bite of the fruit and close your eyes, and as it goes down your throat and into your system, you can feel the chemicals moving through, and you feel great and wonderful.
I have literally,
it doesn't get any better than that.
Right? I have a song about that called The Tree of Life that I wrote, and it's not out, and it's featuring Slug and Killer Mike, and I'm so sorry to interrupt, but it's perfect. I had to tell you this. And it's not out yet. I think I'm going to release it probably like the week the album comes out. And it's about how I was inspired because, so I had my first festival that I ever did was Soundset, actually, I believe it was this year. You know, it's the Atmosphere. They put it all together. And for the previous year, I was on Facebook and I saw a post that Slug had written about how a lot of the quote unquote fans, were upset that 2 Chainz was on the bill. And he was saying how, you know, we're all from the same family. And that inspired me to write this thing called The Tree of Life, where, okay, 2 Chainz is a branch in hip hop, in the tree of hip hop. And then Nas is a branch, and Logic is a branch, and Drake and Kendrick and all these different people. And for someone on the, I don't know, J. Cole branch, so the leaves or the fans of that branch, to hate the branch and the leaves on 2 Chainz and try to say that that's not real, it's just, to me, is bullshit. Because at the end of the day, like, you know, if 2 Chainz is rapping about Atlanta and where he's from and the things that he sees, how is that not real? How is that not a part of this culture when we're all from the same roots?
It's definitely real. I, you know, just to add to the analogy a bit more, Like, you can bite from the fruit and it's beautiful. Yeah. And you can be nourished off of that. That person that was inspired, they planted, they grew something else. Fruit doesn't kill you.
Yeah.
You can also, same thing, flip side of it, take a piece of another fruit, a bite of it, and it poisons you, it kills you. So not to necessarily, at least my take on it is, I don't dispel any of the viewpoints of why some people may not be able to get with other artists.
Yeah.
But I definitely look at it and go, well, if you, for an example, were inspired by so many different other artists, as like I was by Miles Davis and so many other different
Coltrane.
People, right? You are able to make something that's palatable, and it actually helps. That's wonderful. But if it doesn't help, then my common sense says I can't mess with it.
Yeah.
To me, this is really what hip hop looks like. Mm-hmm. In my experience, behind
Except
the scenes
no
at shows.
On there,
I know. She's pointing to my album cover right now, which I'm very proud
You're
of.
You're right. There's no ladies on
I
there.
I thought about putting.
I'm a bad feminist.
No, that's all good. I thought about putting Thalia on there and creating an image for her. But I will say there is a lady.
Where
my
is
lady,
she?
My wife,
where is she?
Is in the top right corner with my dog. Do you see that?
Oh, there, I take it back.
Yeah, so she is there.
She's there.
She's
oh, I
there.
See her.
The album cover is beautiful.
Thank you. Sam Spratt did it. He also did my first album cover.
Thank you for allowing us to get our... Actually, to like put my fingers on it. It's tangible. It's real. It wasn't like a JPEG or something.
Yeah, no, I know. This is my first copy.
I felt the excitement as you were passing it to me. I'm like... You know, just listening to the record, The Incredible Story, I use the word mission because that's usually, you know, when people venture off into space or exploration.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a mission. But I felt your excitement when you passed that to me, and that's good energy, man.
I'm glad.
Like, there's a lot of things that one could be excited about, but I think the reason why I felt it is because you say a lot in this album, and just the structure of going off to this place called this planet called Paradise.
Yeah.
Is that right? And that's daring, and that's something I guess that in our makeup, we are pioneers and we venture out. And also the matter of our own survival of our existence.
It's incredible that you say this. So just for everybody out there listening, the short synopsis is, so the incredible true story and transformation of the man who saved the world is a script that I wrote in one sitting, and it takes place in 2115. And in the year 2065, the last human footprint was left on Earth before ascending to a space station called Babel, where there's only 5 million human beings left. Now, this album takes place, so for the last 50 years, from 2065 to 2115, we've sent 30 ships out, we've sent probes out to look for a habitable planet, and then we finally found one that we believe is habitable, called Paradise. So it is a mission between Thomas and Kai. Thomas is the space pilot. Kai is a man of infantry. They're on their way from the Babel space station to Paradise to see if, in fact, human, you know, life can survive, and this will be our new home. And on their way, they are discussing all topics from sex, love, hip-hop, the future, where we're going, what we're doing. And so for me, there's, excuse me, at the end of the day, there's kind of the main thing about this, about Paradise and this and all that, is I wanted to create a planet, my own planet, for me, for people who enjoy this. You know what I mean? Like, for people who just love music and understand that this is the artist I am, and this is what I'm about, and this is what I represent, here's my message. Peace, love, positivity, follow your dreams. These are my raps. This is my style. This is how I do. And that's why I love this more than anything, because, you know, even going back to inspirations, I wear them on my sleeve. Of course, I've been inspired by Kendrick Cole, Drake. I've been inspired by Coltrane, Miles Davis. I've been inspired by Hans Zimmer. I've been inspired by so many people. And I've been inspired kind of most of all even by Kanye, who uses his inspirations and says, fuck you, I don't care what you say. Does it sound good? Did I write this? Okay, shut the fuck up. Like, that's how I feel. So to be able to just kind of put all this bullshit out of my head about everything, life and this and all that, and create this place where anyone is welcome that is of sound mind and a good heart, you can do this. And so I thought, like, I'm going to create an album that was inspired by anime and sci-fi and all the shit that is quote-unquote not cool or this or that. But to me, I mean, all the hip hop heads I know love art and other types of, you know, inspiration. So I wanted to create this place. And then it goes also to show about, you know, we destroyed Earth in a sense. And that shows where we're going. That shows a lot about ourselves, human nature. And it's like, what is your paradise? Is your paradise heaven, money, success, family, this, that? So I as I travel, literally on this mission in my career, from even on the second album to the third to the fourth to this to that, I plan to grow even more and more abstract with my lyrics, because I want you, the listener, to like, I have my main thing of what I mean, but I want you. What does it mean to you? That's what art is. You know, when I look at you know, figures or statues or whatever, and I see something or a painting, like, cool, I don't know why the hell Leonardo da Vinci like painted this or made this, or the Sistine Chapel with Michelangelo, but how does it make me feel? That's what I want my art to do for the listener. Swag.
Well, I don't want to lead the listener, because I had my pleasure to just really digest it. And thank you, by the way.
Oh, of course.
And not just for allowing us to hear it before the release, but no, just thank you for your art and what you do.
That means a lot coming from you. No. Like, it means a lot. I really appreciate it.
Well,
it's just crazy.
Well, just to even, like, you know, you explaining the thought behind the record. And I've talked to a couple, maybe a handful of artists who don't really think when they go into the booth, which could be cool, you know. And I guess you get from life what you put into it.
I agree.
But when it comes to music, something I'm passionate about, knowing the reach and the power and how it transforms. It saves lives.
Oh, music, yeah.
Does. It allows someone to escape, you know, from a good environment, maybe a not so good environment. There's so many things that music is, and so I'm passionate about it. And to know that one is mindful of what the canvas, which is, you know, audio, what we put down,
yeah,
is important to me, because it's going to lead somewhere, whether you physically here to see it or not, you know. And I'd like for my music to leave behind good, you know. So just I thank you for that, because it makes me feel good knowing that, you know, the younger generations are carrying that and having that much thought into what you're doing. It means a lot, especially because I think the message is two things. Going to paradise could be staring right in front of you.
Yeah.
Okay. And so
it was for me.
Yeah, and so, you know, you gotta live it to learn from it, you know.
100%.
And that could be a whole lot of things. Some could be regrettable, or some could be like, I wouldn't be here if had I not done this or gotten this or saw this or whatever.
Yeah.
There's that aspect of it, but then it's, you know, what you learn and what can you pass on. So for you, I take the whole, I want to ask, do you want to save the world?
I think the world is beyond saving at this point.
All right. Well,
I just want to, you know, on the song Fade Away on this album, it's about accepting death. And I was very scared of planes for a while, to the point where I was legitimately thinking about buying a tour bus. And I had never had a fear of flying. It just hit me one day, and it lasted about a year. And then one day I woke up and I realized, like, I'm so blessed to get on this plane that's going to take me to go, you know, to Paris or to Australia or Tokyo or Hawaii or anything like that. I'm so blessed to be able to do this. And I think I wasn't really scared of necessarily the plane, but, you know, not being in control. And so I wrote this song, and it's like, no matter who you are, this is a personal belief. You say whatever the fuck you want, but this is a personal belief. I believe no matter who you are, religious figure, this, that, whatever, you will be forgotten in time. As long as we go, if an asteroid hits or it's another, you know, frozen era and this and that, da da da, you will be forgotten. So, you know, do what you can for this world and this civilization, but at the end of the day, before you leave, do something for yourself. Accept that you are going to die one day. Don't just brush it off and not think about it. And do what you can to make this world a better place, and your world. And your world could be your family or your best friend or yourself. But, you know, really do something for you before you go. And like, I don't even know why I'm saying this, man, but like paradise. You said it could be staring, it could be staring you in the face. I don't read blogs anymore. And I've been saying this recently, like I used to, and it used to fuck me up, you know, because people could say really horrible things, or, you know, you should do this, or you should rap like this, or don't rap like this, or do this, or what are you doing, or da, 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 all these other things. And it's like, man, like that shit is so unimportant. If I can sit here with a legend like you and someone who cares about culture and music and society like yourself, and we can have a conversation about my second album that's about to be in stores everywhere and all this, I'm doing something right. I'm doing something right. And, you know, so-and-so on a blog or the internet or this or that, who's like sitting probably on their fucking mom's couch, who's like 14 on Xbox, like he doesn't belong here. He doesn't belong in my paradise. And my paradise, honestly, it's success and it's happiness and it's being surrounded by beautiful, incredible people like yourselves. And it means the world. You don't understand. Like I just want to tell you guys, I want to tell everybody listening, like, this is a dream come true. I'm so happy to be here. I don't take this shit for granted. I don't take you guys for granted. And thank you, because this is all that matters. Real motherfucking recognized, real. And I appreciate you guys having me. I just needed to say that.
You're welcome, man. Thank you.
Swag.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure. I think a lot of it goes back to something we're talking, to the tree of life,
yeah,
and the family of hip hop, and why people get so upset about subject matter or style or like ways of moving that really piss them off. It's because I think people do actually take hip hop very seriously.
Yeah.
And there are people trying to take themselves seriously.
Yeah.
And then when they see other people just like throwing it away.
Oh yeah.
It hurts them. They express it terribly and stupidly.
Oh yeah.
But I think there is something in that. People feel so strongly about rap music and the culture, and they want to protect it.
Yep.
And sometimes that conversation just breaks down because it's even a little bit subconscious.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, people don't hate you, they hate themselves.
That's real. But see, I've never had a problem with anybody. Like, people might have problems with me, but like, I've literally, everybody that I've shaken their hand and looked in the face and had a conversation with, fucks with me. Yeah. And they fuck with me because I'm a good person. And the only type of person who wouldn't fuck with me is an evil person. And that's just real. And when it comes to, yo, I did not know everything, but I know so much about this culture, about this. Like, I got, like, Big Daddy Kane's on my phone. Like, we be talking, like, you're like, this is real. Like,
can you just describe for those who have never had the pleasure of being in the presence of him?
Well, you know what's funny?
Dark Gable is the best Twitter name of all time.
I haven't. Met him yet?
You haven't met.
And I've been talking to him for like 2 years. We're supposed to be to do a song together, like all this shit.
Okay, but you've talked to him.
Yes.
You talk to him. He's the same person whether you've seen him.
Yeah, yeah. He's a boss, yo. First of all, his presence, everything about him, like, yo, this is the shit that I'm talking about. Okay, Big Daddy Kane did a list, and he did like some interview, and he wrote this list about his favorite MCs of all time that like inspire him, and I was on that list. He also put himself on that list, which I thought was funny. But, like, I couldn't believe it. I'm like, yo, are you fucking serious? Like, yo, I had dinner with the RZA, bro. Like, that's the reason I even, like, discovered y'all and discovered all this. The RZA. Like, the whole reason I'm even rapping right now. I had dinner with this man, you know, and he respected me. And he shook my hand. He looked me in the face, you know what I mean? It was like, mm-hmm. I fuck with you. And, I, you know, he wouldn't have dinner with me. It wasn't like, I'm like, wow.
Where did you guys go?
We went, I forget, some hotel in, like, Beverly Hills. It was some fun bougie shit. It was tight. But anyway, but it was incredible. Like that's what I love about all this other shit. It doesn't matter. Like it's only the power you give it.
Yeah.
Like,
you're a human being, so you're going to naturally be affected by certain
things. 100%.
You know, if it's something that's, you know, irritating your skin, you're going to scratch it.
Yeah,
you know?
But if you're okay with it, that's it. You have to be okay with yourself. And just like you said, most people don't hate you. They hate themselves, or there's a problem that they have with themselves. And it's like, yo, I wake up every day and I have legends texting me, calling me, telling me, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a great job. So if I got legends telling me this, and then I got, you know, you could have anybody with a fucking Twitter account who thinks they write for Rolling Stone nowadays, like telling you, that's real shit, telling you why you're not doing something good. And here's another thing. I've experienced it. I've had people tell me, you know, like haters who like, man, like half haters, like, man, that's just whatever. You should write like this. And it's like, yo, if I write like this and try to please that person, then they're going to be like, see, you switching it up, not even being yourself. Totally. You know, so there's no winning. There's no winning. You just have to be happy with who you are. All this shit doesn't matter. Like, I love how I sound, who I sound like, what this, that, that, especially on this album, man, because you go through, yo, I can't tell you how many times I rapped exactly like Q-Tip or RZA or Kanye or this or this. I literally have thousands of songs in the last, you know, 11 years as a young MC where I've emulated everybody and their baby mama's sister's cousin's style. So that I could understand it, so that I could get it and know. And now that's why, you know, the way that I flow now is so, it is extremely unique. Nobody got flow like me. And that's not saying I'm better or this or that. No, literally nobody raps the way that I rap. Every four bars, I'm changing my style. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And it's a culmination. It's a respect. It's a ancestry of hip hop and music as a whole in me.
That's my favorite thing about what you do, is that you switch it so up so much within a song.
Well, thanks, girl. I appreciate that.
Also, Marilyn.
Yeah.
Swag. You said Marilyn.
Merlin. Merlin.
Oh, you know what I do want to ask you?
Hmm.
Okay, so you told us how you really feel about the bloggers and those people who don't really.
Well, I don't mind blogs. I just don't read the comments. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
But can you talk about your crew real quick? Just your people who are your team?
Yeah,
oh, man.
Go through the album.
Yeah, so everybody, yeah, let's go. I'm gonna go on here. So for those of you who during the week that might either have
this album. We'll put the picture on our website.
Yeah, in your hand or the picture. So on the far left with the crazy hair is Dylan. That's actually Rafael Sadiq's nephew.
Smashing Hearts, shout out.
Smashing Hearts. to him, the baby face looking motherfucker, the big dude, that's Big Limbo. To him,
can
to the
we
right
talk
hand.
About how much he sounds like Fat Joe?
Well, people say Fat Joe. Other people say Action. Other people say Pun.
I get Pun and Joel Ortiz.
But he just said he always says he says it's the fat throat. Like that's what he says. Like it's the fat throat. I think I kind of agree with
all
him.
Right.
Yeah. There's DJ Rhetoric. There's Kevin Randolph, who's an incredible producer and voice actor on this album. Above Kevin Randolph is the dude who looks like a ghost, is Bobby Campbell, my engineer. Mm-hmm. And then there's a very handsome guy in the middle of this cover. And then to the right of that is Steve Blum, the voice actor. Above Steve Blum is Six, my in-house producer. And then between Six's arm and my head is Sam Spratt, person who actually drew the artwork. I had him hide.
Well, that's kind of creepy.
Yep. To the right of Steve is Chris Thornton from The Front Runners with his wife, Drea, who is, I mean, she's all over the album. To the right of him is my tour manager, Momberg. And then up above Chris is Steve Wireman, who's just an incredible rock star, amazing musician. All these people and so many more that aren't on here are what compile me or what make me. I know I am damn good. I am so fucking good at what I do because I wake up every day and do nothing but this every day. I know how good I am and I know how much I still have left to accomplish, but I want everybody out there to know I am nothing without the people that have sacrificed time from their lives to help me get here. And like, it doesn't mean anything without them, because people see Logic, but they don't see, you know, the people like Chris, my manager, who worked from the ground up to get Visionary Music Group, you know, have some legs to then sign with Def Jam, or the people who have shot my music videos or this, and I will be here talking about them all day if I was, but I just want you to know, like, I am a fraction of the Logic brand. Like, these are the people that actually made the thing that is the most important, which is the message, get out there. Because that's, at the end of the day, that's what the fans say. Like, I know my music is damn good, and I know people enjoy it, and I know people love it, but you know the funny part? That shit doesn't mean anything compared to the message and what it means to the people who absorb it and consume it. And so thank you to everybody. Thank you to everybody in the other room. Thank you to Harrison, you motherfucker. Thank you to Big John, you black motherfucker. I love you. You are black and beautiful. I always tell them that all the time. And who else is in the room? It was Baja in there. Shout out to my driver right now, Baja. I mean, I don't have a driver. That makes me sound extra like, no, I didn't mean it like that.
The man who drove the Sprinter.
The man who drove the Sprinter.
The man, but that just speaks to, you know, who you are, because he's just here. You're probably going to spend maybe 6 hours of your life with him, and he's going to go on. You may never see him again.
You know what's funny?
The fact, what?
I thought I would never see him again. He remembered me, and I remembered him too. One of my first times in L.A., he drove me. And then he told me today, he was like, man, he said that he went back that day and was saying like, oh, I met the coolest guy, blah, blah, blah. He was saying he like never does that. And it meant a lot to me. I care about how people perceive me, man.
Well, it just speaks to your character because you brought him up. You didn't have to mention it. He's not your permanent. He's not your crew. You
know? I didn't want to have him sit in the car.
Yeah, I didn't want to have him sit in the car. I was like, fuck all that, right?
That's dope. You should
come hang out. But anyway, I'm just a fucking guy. I'm just a dude. That's another thing. Like, just because I rap, and I know it's almost time, but like, just because I rap, that don't mean shit. Like I treat you with respect like I would treat the president or the same or the person who takes my trash out. You know what I'm saying? Who like collects the garbage, man. Like man, none of this shit matters. And that's why I do other things and people will be like, oh, like, you know, oh, you're in a relationship. Oh, why are you in a relationship? You know you're going to cheat or you know this or that. It's like, no, I never cheated on a woman in my life. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, you know how long I was, I wouldn't even use the term celibate, but how long I like wouldn't have sex with women while I was single and rapping and on the road? Because first of all, you don't know what the fuck you're going to catch. You don't know if she's going to try to flip the script. And also, like me, I need a personal relationship to be involved, you know, with a woman intimately. Like, I need to know her. And I ain't definitely ain't gonna fuck no chick who calls me Logic. Get the fuck out of here. Like, I am Bobby. My name is Sir Robert Bryson Hall II. I'm a regular motherfucker, man.
You're not regular when you got Sir in the second. And you got a prefix and a suffix in your name. I'm like, I thought I had a long name. Till I read your name, I was like, yo, this is official. But
swag. 1738.
Oh my gosh, man, I'm so happy you came here.
Yeah. I'm happy. Can I come back? Are y'all just fucking with me?
No, I really, because I have other questions to the song. Please do. Specifically, but you know, like,
please make this part one.
I want people to really just build with it. And I, you know what, the creator has a plan and you roll with it. So many times I wanted to knock on your door and be like, man, we should do a joint together. But I respected the space of whatever the will of the creator is. And it was like, if it's supposed to be, it's supposed to be, you know. I knew you would be in this couch for NPR.
Cool.
Microphone check. Like, I knew microphone check was definitely part of our destiny. But I don't know what the future holds beyond that. But I certainly, like, you're welcome to come back.
Thank you. I'm about whatever. If you want to make records, if you want to hang out, you want to watch movies, you want to have lunch, you want to this, you want to be friends, I'm about whatever, man. I'm a very open person. Like, as long as you're a cool person, like, I fuck with you, like, that's it. Like, if you're not a good person, cool. But listen, so I'm excited that I'm going, so I'm going on this fan tour.
Yeah.
To go visit fans.
Which is dope. You came up with this idea. How'd you come up with the idea?
Yeah, I mean, we just thought about what's a great way to give back. So I got this tour bus. We wrapped it up, and I'm going to cities all across America to knock on kids' doors at their houses, set up, and play them my album before it comes out.
Do they have any idea that you're going to do it?
Well, we had to.
Is it going to be like Ed McMahon knocking your door?
Well, I wish, but it was like legally, like to make sure it was set up and it was all cool. Because it ain't just kids. You know, it's grown folk who got work and this and that. Yeah. So I wanted to make sure that it was cool. So they found out like a couple days before that we're going to be coming, so that is good. But they're still going to be surprised. It's still going to be amazing, and I'm excited. And then, you know, I got to do some signings, and the album comes out after that. When I come back here, I got to spend some time with my fucking wife, yo. Like, I got to spend some time with my wife because I just got married. But I want to sit down. I want to. You got my number, right?
Yeah.
Because you know I texted you back and you just let me hang. What the fuck?
No, it was in middle of conversation. It wasn't like I did just stop ignoring
you. No, he didn't ignore me.
It wasn't that. I was just like, all right, let me hit you back. And I was excited to talk to you. Yeah. And it was in the middle. My life is
chaotic. Fucking with you. Of course. I know.
It's chaotic. And it was in the middle of the conversation. It's like, I'll be right back. I want to give you time. Because I actually wanted to sit with you. I didn't want to text. I wanted to do. And it's been chaotic.
Even, no, I know. I'm just kidding.
Still to this moment. Like,
it's all good.
Like, you want to get to your baby after this? And I'm waiting for this moment to just... This will be my calm moment for the next maybe 8 hours.
Yeah.
And of the rest of the week.
Wow.
And then...
Enjoy it.
Yeah, I am, because it's not going to be calm again until November 24th, God willing, I come home. It's crazy.
Well, I will be good. So, like, I just want you to know, like, even though there's a bunch of stuff going on, I'm saying this on the record and on some, like, real homie shit. Like, I want to finish this. Please make this part one. Like, I want to come back and I want to talk about... Now, because we talk about the struggle. We talk about where I came from, which was from something, and all this. So I want to come back now and talk about, like, the victory lap. Yeah. I want to talk about these songs. I want to talk about all this exciting, awesome shit. So listeners out there who have never heard of me before, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate this. You know what I'm saying? 1738.
You know what we share, actually? Release date, November 13th.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Oh, when we should do it?
No. Tribe Called Quest 25th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
The Distinctive Travels in the Past Rhythm.
That's right.
We'll release the same day.
I know.
You and Jada and
so
Jeezy.
We can, yeah. Really? Yeah.
Jeezy, Ty Dolla Sign.
Yeah, there's a lot happening on it.
One Direction, Justin Bieber.
So, yeah, we can come back and, you know, share notes on. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
November 13th, 1738.
Word.